Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
I don't know about you, but I can miss things. I know some of y'all don't miss anything, but I can miss things. There's times I open up my fridge, and I'm like, yo, babe, where the hot sauce at? She's like, babe, it's in there. I'm like, no, it isn't. She's like, it's in there. You want to know why I can't see it? Why I don't know where it is? It's not because I'm a man. I know girls are like, oh, it's because you're a man. It's just because you're a man, and you don't see anything. No, it's because that teriyaki sauce we bought 4 months ago that we never used is still in there. It's because that weird little dressing, I spent $7 on it, and I feel so bad about throwing it away because I spent so much money on that skinny you dressing or whatever, and it's still in there, and there's clutter. There's clutter amongst the walls of my refrigerator, so when I open it, I can't see. And I have to say, yo, babe. There's so much clutter in our life that block our view. We have hobbies that are clutter. We have relationships that are clutter. We have jobs that are clutter. We have all types of stuff that's just clutter. And you know why? You don't move. You just stay where you are because it's just easier that way. It's easier. It's easier for me not to get a garbage bag. And I know that, you know, sauce, it stinks. I don't want to get all that, throw it all out. And then there's going to be like some residue in the bottom. So then I got to do the whole job. So I got to clean it up, and my wife's looking at me like, you don't clean anything, but you know what I mean. It's an analogy. What I'm saying right now is that in 2025, there has been a lot of clutter. And I want to go into the new year with only the necessities. I want to go into the new year like a minimalist. In the spirit. In natural, too. We'll talk about that later, but in the spirit, I want to be a spiritual minimalist. I only want what is necessary for me to get the job done. I only want what is necessary for my survival. You know, I started teaching survival a couple years ago, and I started noticing that a lot of the students who come, they come with too much stuff. And by the middle of the class, they're climbing, they're doing, and I look at them, I'm like, none of that stuff that's in your backpack was on the list that you should have brought. You want to know why they bring so much stuff? It's because they pack their fears. I see people all the time on the trail, camping, doing stuff. They have all these trinkets and gadgets and all this stuff. And everything that they pull out of there is a fear. I had to bring this extra pair of socks in case my socks get wet. I had to bring this extra battery in case the extra battery goes out. I had to bring, you get what I'm saying? So I'm talking for myself. I started realizing that I had so much clutter around me. I had so much mess around me because I was scared. And then God said, look again. I could do anything you need me to do. So I stopped being cluttered and I started just looking. Today in this room, we silence the voice of the enemy in Jesus' name. We set a new standard. We will not wait for a new year today, right now. We will stop listening to fear in Jesus' name. We will look again and see that if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Open our eyes, Lord. There's that old song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That's what I want this morning. I want new eyes. Sometimes I need the Lord to zero in my vision. This is Kentucky Derby place. You know those blinders that they put on the horses? Sometimes the Lord has to limit my vision. Sometimes I'm looking at too many things. I'm doing too many things. Sometimes I have to focus on what's in front of me. So for everybody, it's going to be different. Some people, you're going to need the Lord to completely open your eyes For some people, you need to squint a little more. You need to zero in and say, you know what, Lord, for 2026, this is what I'm going to look at. I'm going to look at the relationship with my daughter. I'm going to look at my marriage. I'm going to look at building my business. I'm going to look at finding a job. I'm going to look at building in the church. I'm going to look at et cetera. But before you do that, you have to know who has your back. The first point, I'm starting now. You're like, oh man, he's been talking forever. Know who has your back. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we encounter the king of Syria who is greatly troubled. He has declared on Israel war, and nothing is working out. I'm telling you, nothing's working out for this guy. Everywhere he sends his armies, the Israelites know that he's coming. They already know. So they are prepared and they are ready, and they cannot take the land. So the king of Syria does something. He gets his servants together. He looks at one of his servants and he says, who is telling the king of Israel that we're coming? There must be someone in my camp here. He thought he had a snitch. He was like, who's snitching on me? Because every time I go and try to attack the Israelites, the men of God, the people of God, I cannot get through. Then he says this in 2 Kings 6, 12. His servant says, none of us, my lord, the king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. The king says, go find where he is at. The king ordered, so I can send men to capture him and to report back. He is in Dathan. I want you to put back up verse 12. And I want you to just leave that up there. Just leave it up there for a while. It says, the king. It says, Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king the very words you speak in your bedroom. I want you to just leave that up there. Don't take it down. Let me tell you something. God hears all the conversations that you don't. A lot of times, circumstances in your life might leave you perplexed or confused. I got some brothers in here. I got some sisters in here. I know your life a little bit. It's confusing sometimes. Why did I lose my job? I was doing so well. God might have heard something. Why did that friend, why did this friend stop talking to me? Why did this start happening in my life? Why are things falling apart in this way? God knows what you don't know. Let me take it a step further. God hears the thoughts and knows the heart of the people. God is for his people, and you are his people. You have to know that he's got your back. It's gonna let you make you walk different. You're gonna have a different demeanor to you when you know that the God of the universe has your back. When you know that the God that hung the stars on nothing has your back. The God that casted out demons and heals the sick still has your back. The God who stopped the sun for a war to be won. The Bible says he stopped the sun so that the war can be won. That God has your back. The God that is coming back with a robe that is dripping in blood and a sword in his mouth. You know, I know Christmas just happened, but he's not a baby in a manger anymore. I know you see people wearing these chains and you see it hanging out on churches. He's not a broken man on the cross anymore. That's not my Jesus. That's not how the Bible says he's coming back. You have to know that he is the warrior Jesus, the commander of all heavenly armies, and that's the one who has your back. Lift your head up, soldier. Lift your head up. That's the one who has your back. You should feel some type of way about that. But I know sometimes life could beat you down. And it's real. And there's a word that I like to say and that my mother has been preaching on for so long that just encompasses it so well. And it's called the middle. So today, in this short message, it's going to be pretty short because I know the kids are in here. I want to talk about the middle for a second. It's all real to us. Even if we know the Lord, we're still human, and our feeble minds are fickle. Let me tell you right now, just because someone is a leader in the church, just because you've been coming to church for 30 years, doesn't mean you're immune to the middle. The middle is what happens when you get that doctor's report that cripples you. The middle is what happens when you look at your debt-to-income ratio. The middle is what happens when you remember the business you started, the business that failed, and you think about starting another one, but you remember the pain and the hurt and the layoffs and everything that happened when you lost that other one. The middle's no joke. I'm not belittling the middle. The middle is paralyzing. But I thank God for the body. I thank God that He makes everything new. I thank God that He can do a new thing and that He can do anything anytime He wants to. I thank God for brothers and sisters who will not let you stay in the middle. They're gonna tell you, no. Let's go to 2 Kings 6. 14. Now remember where the story is. The king of Syria, he real mad. Okay, he's mad. He wants to get Elisha. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. The man comes back in and says, "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" Let me tell you right now, let me tell you something. I've spent a lot of nights in the woods, okay? So I know exactly what that man was doing when he got out of the tent that morning. It's the same thing you do every time you get up in the morning. I'll just keep it at that. You know, you wipe the tears out of, you wipe the cold out of your eyes, you go to the bathroom and you're still half asleep. Imagine you going to the bathroom in the morning, you open up your eyes and you're surrounded by a bunch of people with shotguns and AKs. That's how he felt. That's the middle. The middle catches you off guard. Hear me today, because the devil tries to beat people up and say, "Oh, if you're caught off guard and you shake a little bit, you don't have enough faith. You must not know God. You must not know your word." You start beating yourself up. But no, 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 no. This man went outside of the tent and he was surrounded by an army, horses and chariots. I don't know. That's the middle. The middle is where fear lives. The middle is where fleshly reactions live. You see what he did exactly as soon as he saw them, he went back in. He said, "Hey, Elisha, what are we gonna do? We're all gonna die." The middle is where the disciples were when they went back on, when they tapped Jesus when he was sleeping on the boat. They're like, "We're all gonna die." The middle is where you first start seeing the circumstance and you just see it with your fleshly eyes. And for a second, it happens to all of us. I'm telling you, if you're too spiritual for that, pray for me. But it happens to all of us. Just for a second, you stop, you don't remember. But then you get reminded. The middle is where the world lives. The reason why the world is in shambles is because they cannot escape the middle. The only escape from the middle is Jesus. Yes, they can temporarily numb the middle with drugs and alcohol and all types of stuff that they do. But only us, let me give you some exciting news. Only us can truly escape the middle. Because the middle needs faith to escape. It needs hope to escape. It needs truth to escape. It needs a God that is actually going to come and save you. It needs a God that's going to actually come and deliver you from your situation. A God that is actually going to open a door. A God that is actually going to close a door. A God that is present. That is the only way you will get out. Everybody in the room say, look again. Say it again. Look again. After the middle always comes a look again moment. We've all had them. That check in the mail moment. Look again. That my student loans got forgiven moment. Look again. That this job came out of nowhere and I didn't even know it was coming. Look again. That I'm cancer free moment. Look again. That you saved my marriage moment. Look again. That my prodigal son is home. Look again. We have to live from those moments. Because life is a life of ebbs and flows. Life is a life of valleys and mountains. So these look again moments are crucial to our Christian walk. We've all had these moments. And I'll say it again, the devil will try to shame you. He doesn't want me to put a spotlight on this. He will try to shame you and say, what is wrong with me? Is my faith not well enough? Is my walk not well enough? And he'll even use, I could cry saying it, he'll even use brothers in the church. I've heard people say, you're not getting deliverance because you don't believe. You're not getting this because you don't believe. The Bible says, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. That's almost nothing. All you need is a little bit. And he'll do the rest. So let me tell you, if you feel weak today, I have good news. He's strongest in your weakness. If you feel brokenhearted today, I have good news. He's close to the brokenhearted. Both of those things are promises. Let's wrap this up. 2 Kings 6:16. The prophet Elisha said to his servant, do not be afraid. I want someone to catch that in their spirit. I'm just gonna wait. I'm just gonna wait for it. I wanna wait for it to land. Do not be afraid, the prophet answered. You got to remember, this man just went out. He just woke up. He looks around, and he is surrounded by the enemy. This man surely knew that he would die today. The prophet said, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen. And here's the key. 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 Ah! Elisha said, open his eyes, Lord. Elisha said, open his eyes, Lord. And that's what I'm going to say over you today. With all power vested in me from none of me and all of the Holy Spirit, open their eyes, Lord. Open their eyes, Lord, that they may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. Let me tell you right now, all of the armies that were surrounding them were surrounded. So when he looked in the natural, he saw the natural. He saw all of the armies that were surrounding him. When he looked in the spirit, he saw all of the armies surrounding them. And that's where things shift and things change. Where's Kent? Is Kent in here? You can come up and play. Guys, this is where the shift happens. When we start to realize that we are battling a defeated foe, and we have to remind ourselves over and over and over again, there is no message that hasn't been preached. There is nothing new under the sun. But we have to realize in our heart that we are fighting a defeated foe. And as soon as you do that and you look again, you start to fight from a different position. You knuckle up differently. You could see more clearly. It comes from the confidence from the one that is with you. I know that eyes are going to be open today. I'm so thankful for a house that operates out of open eyes. I'm so thankful for leaders that lead by example. You know, Pastor Rich looked death in its eyes. And he came back realizing that death was surrounded by heavenly host. And he came back with a new fire, a fresh anointing. Why not you? Why not you? Why can't you be the comeback kid today? Anything that happened to you, why not today? You know, there's no difference between the size of my God and the size of your God. The only difference is I may acknowledge differently, which will cause God to move in a different manner. So today we acknowledge in a new way. We say, Lord, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And we're going to close and we're just going to sing that a couple times. And I want you guys to stand with me if we can worship together in spirit and in truth. And I just want us to realize who is on our side. God is so good, he even kept all the kids good. Amen. Lord, you're faithful. Lord, you're worthy. I pray for all of those who feel that they're in the middle right now, who feel they need breakthrough, who feel they need to look again. And I pray, Lord, the way Elisha spoke to his servant that day, that you open their eyes, that you open the eyes of your people to see that it's all good, that he's not done and that he is faithful to finish. He's not done and he's faithful to finish. And a good report card for you today is think of your responses. God lives in the response. So if you respond from a place of fear, it will be got fresh, fleshly responses. But if you respond from a place of faith, it will be got obedient responses. So today, Lord, help us to be obedient. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to see you for who you are.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.